Tight end on the right.
Looks like Ravens are bringing pressure on the play.
Late motion from Moore. Here's the snap. Allen has time. Now pressure coming from Van Noy. Throws. It's high. And it's caught in the end zone by Keon Coleman. It may have been intended for Dawson Knox, but Coleman's the one that ends up with it. Agent Zero with a touchdown.
Still just stunning. Bills Radio Network, how the Bills came back on the Baltimore Ravens it's just a shock. And it took plays like that. Not sure if it was for Dawson Knox, ends up in the hands of Keon Coleman, who really turned things on in the fourth quarter along with Josh Allen. This was a game, Perloff, if you're a Ravens fan, you are just sick, because they had two different spots in the second half, and including with 4 minutes left to go, where the Ravens were ahead by 15 points. And they're not just any team when they have a lead. The Ravens are the perfect team with a lead. Because
they should be.
Right, they should be. Good point. They should be, because their ability to just run the ball. You can sit on these leads where you don't have to do anything stupid or dicey or whatever. And for some reason, the last three drives that the Ravens had in the game, a three and out, a Derrick Henry fumble, and then another three and out. Like, they just could not get a first down when they needed it, and the Bills capitalized by the skin of their teeth and end up kicking a 32-yard field goal to win as time expired. Just bananas.
I mean, totally unpredictable, and yet it feels like when these two teams play, it's going to be like your Chiefs and Bills. Something crazy and wild is going to happen. You could tell the defenses were hurting last night. Again, it is a crazy comeback, but if there was two teams that were going to play a game like that in week one, I would have predicted them. Not, by the way, the other crazy game was the Jets-Steelers. That I wouldn't have predicted. But with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, like, nothing is impossible for either quarterback.
Yeah, Josh Allen ends the game 33 for 46 with 394 yards and two touchdowns, and 250 yards came in the fourth quarter. That is just incredible.
I mean, the Ravens knew they were going to pass and generated 0.0 pass rush. Like, that was like Josh is just dropping back at will and just nothing's coming. It was weird. That O-line is very good, by the way. That is part of it.
Yeah, it's funny, though, because they actually got called for some penalties, especially even in that the drive that scored the touchdown in that Keon Coleman highlight that we just played for you. There was a Deion Dawkins false start in that drive.
He'll do that once in a while. He seems to have penalties.
He does, and they weren't perfect, but they were giving Josh all types of time, and Allen was able to do his thing. I mean, both quarterbacks also good on the ground. Lamar Jackson, 6 carries for 70 yards and a touchdown. Josh, 14 carries, only 30 yards, but the two touchdowns, and both of them coming in the fourth quarter. Crazy, and, you know, it's nuts about this game is that it should be remembered as the Derrick Henry game, yet another time when he puts the Bills in a body bag like he used to do when he played for the Tennessee Titans. And he was so good in this game until he fumbles the ball with 3 minutes and 9 seconds left to go. Bills take over basically in the red zone at that point. They score, and it was like a momentum shifter, because then the Ravens go three and out on their next drive.
It's so funny. You and I took what this means in a slightly different direction. You mentioned that maybe the Bills now have a mental edge over the Ravens. I feel like the Ravens are now have motivation for life against this Bill. Like, they are going to be chomping at the bit to get this team again.
Well, I mean, they were motivated coming into last night's game.
Yeah, and it felt like they were blowing them away. That's what I mean. Then maybe it's like it hits in the fourth quarter. But I feel like if they meet in the playoffs again, which kind of seems like destiny, like, Baltimore is going to come out like a house on fire. The question is, can they hold that lead? Now I think the doubt will creep in the fourth quarter, maybe.
Like it or not, the Ravens are developing and have developed a reputation for blowing big games. We normally associate this with the 49ers or Kyle Shanahan. I know John Harbaugh has a Super Bowl. No one's ever going to take that away, but they are also now developing this reputation of either not showing up in the biggest games or getting off to slow starts in the biggest games, however you want to put that, with Lamar and all the slings and arrows that he's taken. And now I think the team as a whole is starting to develop a reputation. They had 5 different games where they've had 10 points point leads in the fourth quarter since 2019 and blown them all. It is usually when you have leads like that, again, with this type of team, it feels like it should be automatic, but it is not for some reason when it comes to Baltimore.
And the funny thing is, it is 100% not on Lamar Jackson last night.
No.
I mean, he was as close to perfect as any quarterback can be. So it's funny. There are games where Lamar has blown it, but this definitely was not one of them. Obviously, the defense, but if he's going to play perfect and Derrick Henry's going to play perfect, and they're still going to lose.
That's why I think there's a mental edge here. We asked you on X, do the Ravens have a mental hurdle when it comes to playing the Bills? Right now, 52% of you are saying yes. I mean, it's really, really tight. EJ, what do you think? Mental hurdle with the Ravens and Bills or no?
I don't think it's a mental hurdle with the Bills. I think it's a mental hurdle with winning big games. I think it goes beyond necessarily just the Bills. I think there's something about this team that when the lights are bright and they're playing against one of the top teams in the AFC, for some reason, it just feels like you know they're going to find a way to lose. And it's weird because when you think of Baltimore, you think of toughness, you think of mental strength, and it doesn't feel like they're a mentally tough team, which is, again, feels like an oxymoron talking about Ray Lewis and Ed Reed's Ravens.
But this is not a big game. I mean, it's week one. I mean, it's a big game for
Hopefield. It felt like a big game. Yeah. I mean, and this is a team that is you're going to be battling with for playoff positioning, potentially home field advantage. This was not it's week one. We're just going to go through the motions here. This was a game they had to find a way to win.
But I think the reason they don't win big games is because their quarterback's from Florida, and I don't think he likes playing in cold weather.
But that was not last night.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah, and he was perfect last night. I think most of their signature losses have been in the playoffs. I mean,
okay, but then I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. Like, that's also a mental thing because, and I only know this because this is what all the players say when it comes to the cold weather. It's a mentality. It's like you don't actually play worse, your opponent plays in the same conditions that you do.
Well, why? I mean, listen, there's definitely something like Kansas City, cold weather team, Green Bay for years, cold weather team, Pittsburgh, like all the great teams, New England, cold weather team. You know, these cold weather big quarterbacks seem to do really well. Lamar he's not huge. I mean, I don't know. Josh Allen seems like he's built for the cold more than Lamar Jackson. Just if you eyeball the two, if it's snowing outside and you have those two quarterbacks next to each other, who are you taking? You're taking the big guy.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Ravens developing a reputation here for being chokers. They choked that game away. No doubt. I want to give the Bills tons of credit. Josh Allen deserves all the credit in the world. He puts that team on his back so many times. But the Ravens choked it away.
Well, good thing for Josh Allen. He's going to be handing the ball off for the next 8 weeks after playing the Panthers, Saints, Jets. Like, easy peasy road ahead, Meg.
Listen, you play is on their schedule. But I think that the crazy part is how the mentality shifted. Because if you're Buffalo and you lose this game in the way that it looked like they were going to lose, which was just getting stomped by Derrick Henry, then I think that would have been tough to overcome. Like, there's a bit of a fraud anxiety. I think if you're Buffalo and Derrick Henry comes in and scores three touchdowns and just destroys you, then you're like, oh gosh, how good are we? Do we actually have a defense who can win? And the fact they turned the table here, I think did a lot for them. I really do. Because there's got to be fraud anxiety, whether you're the Bills or the Ravens, because no one's been able to beat the Chiefs. The only people who have is Cincinnati, and they got their own problems.
Can I just say, it is kind of funny. I'm sorry, look at the schedule. At Jets, that could be tough.
Jets look good. Yeah.
But it's second biggest spread of the week. Then Miami and New Orleans. Like, what's Buffalo going to do to entertain themselves for those two games?
Listen, you never know.
Watch the Sabres.
Wait. You never know.
No, the Jets game is going to be interesting.
You know. You absolutely know. Yeah, the Jets, you don't. I mean, that again.
Where's that game?
It's in New York.
The Bills don't play well in New York.
They do not.
Yeah. 7.5-point favorites. You guys should bet the house on the Jets then if you get it's a big money line too. But then Miami and New Orleans. How did that happen?
Yeah, I'm on your side there.
They still have to play the Chiefs. They got to play the Eagles. Don't worry.
I know, but don't give me you never know when we saw the Dolphins this week.
The Dolphins have to care. I did not count on the Dolphins not caring.
And it's in Buffalo.
Yeah, see, if you're Buffalo, you always want Miami late. You don't want them in September.
Now you want them. You want them every week. Every week, every season.
We'll see if they can regroup. Let's get to the NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
Yep, we're bringing it back every game in 60 seconds from Sunday. EJ, go ahead.
All right, it's Aaron Rodgers 1, EJ nothing. 4 TDs for the Steelers QB. I was going to say something else. Steelers beat the Jets 34-32.
Impressive. All around. Impressive that Rodgers was really carrying the offense, which I wasn't sure was in the Steelers playbook, Pearl. And impressed by the Jets, actually. And Justin Fields looked like a good thrower yesterday, which is an improvement for him.
Yeah. Flip side, worried about both defenses. Pittsburgh's defense got really, really old. Like, if they don't get to the quarterback, it's going to be trouble town USA. And the Jets, I can't believe the Jets defense wasn't better. Although, I think it will be better because they have a lot of names.
Joey Porter also going out for a stretch in this game. Definitely hurt. Kept the game really close. Super entertaining. And I was more impressed by what I saw by both teams.
Jets almost 200 yards rushing. That might be like the seventh game in a row the Steelers just got gashed. And it's so weird. Steelers don't get run on historically, and now it's easy.
A wild one in the ATL. Bucks pull it out after a Younghoe Koo miss late in the game.
That game had everything. Bijan Robinson, yes, who is the number one fantasy pick in most drafts, dude's got to run forward sometimes. Like he will make negative plays that hurt the team. He's arguably top three running back in the NFL. A little disappointed. Meanwhile, I'm all about the Bucks and Emeka Egbuka. Oh my God, was he awesome! And that was a thrilling game. Felt like every Falcons-Bucks game goes exactly like this.
Fantastic connection between Mayfield and Egbuka. So you got the two touchdowns there. Was definitely the biggest takeaway. Small takeaway, Michael Penix looks good. We'll do a whole debrief on the entire second-year quarterback class because we're going to watch Caleb Williams and J.J. McCarthy tonight. Mm. But also, Younghoe Koo missing a kick that never happened.
Yeah, it's wild. Wasn't he the most accurate kicker?
Yes, he was, and he missed a kick that would have sent it to overtime.
Another game with a missed field goal late. Bengals survived the Browns in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, I know there was this emphasis that the Bengals were going to be better to begin the season. Could have fooled me. If the Browns kicker was a rookie and had his act together, Bengals lose this game. If the Browns kicker kicks the field goal and the PAT miss both at different points in the second half. I don't know why the Bengals' offense was not more explosive yesterday, Pearl.
I do. Myles Garrett, 2 sacks, 4 tackles for loss. Burrow had no time. He just really could not go downfield. I think if you're a Bengals fan, you actually are happy, though, Maggie, because you got out of here with a W. You started out the season 1-0. There's something, even when playing preseason, they clearly need time to get going. You're right. The offense did not look like the Bengals' offense.
Another day closer to unemployment. The Dolphins lose 33-8 as Mike McDaniel's Dolphins just not looking all that good.
Yeah, you know what? I look at the Colts and Daniel Jones. They have good skill position players. And then they add Tyler Warren. We are Penn State. Like, I just like so many different players on that offense that I'm into it. I wish I'd been a little more bullish on the Colts coming into the season.
No. Don't do that. Don't get fooled, Pearl. Yes, they have some good pieces on paper, but this had nothing to do with the Colts. This was a high school team in Indianapolis could have done this to Miami. This is what it looks like when a team is quitting on their coach. So it's only a matter of time. The questions remain, what is Tua? Where does he go after this? Is he a backup at next year if the Miami has to draft a quarterback? Like, this is how much I'm forecasting down the road off of what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, that Cam Bynum celebration was so elite in the end zone. The guy, what he was convulsing on there.
Sideways worm kind of?
Convulsing. Yeah. No, I have to say that was, I disagree. I think that alone makes me interested in the Colts.
He didn't come to Vegas to roll the dice. He came to run the table, and Geno Smith ran the Patriots out of New England. Raiders win 20-13.
Man, so first, just on the loser for a second.
They wrote me off. I ain't right back, though.
I thought the Patriots were going to look a little bit better. Drake May still needs a little more seasoning. Let's put it that way. He was not awesome to me. And the Raiders, you know, Geno is an upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
A big one.
He's great.
And Pete Carroll is an upgrade. A big one. And I think you watched those two things in concert yesterday. And I think, I was a little more surprised that the Patriots were a little toothless here.
Yeah, Geno does throw a bad pick once in a while. And he had one yesterday. But the Patriots, like, okay, Mike Vrabel, you're this superstar defensive. cover Brock Bowers. What are you, crazy? Like, he's the one target that scares you, and he was running wide open. Hopefully, he's fine.
Good news for EJ, Survivor Pool pick. The Cardinals beat the Saints 20-13 in the Superdome.
Yeah, you're sweating that one out. Was it tied 10-10 at halftime?
No,
I'm sorry. It was earlier.
20-13. Spencer Rattler, who you can't help but root for, throws the ball. Guy catches it, lands in the end zone. When he lands, the ball jars. Would have been a tie game, and EJ would have been in big trouble. Honestly, Cardinals, that's another guy. Cover Trey McBride. Put three guys on him. I don't care what you do against the Cardinals. Marvin Harrison looked promising, but Trey McBride on the Cardinals is their number one weapon. Both these teams are a little worrisome. Saints had some fight, Mag. I mean, we thought they'd be the worst team in the league.
No, Cam Jordan's still looking good. Yeah. I mean, they have something.
Kamara.
You know, I noticed just something to keep an eye on. I don't like Kellen Moore's body language on the sideline. I mean, their team's getting hurt, you know, losing. They only lost by a score, but I didn't like his, like, he looked like down and out.
He kind of always looks like that. He made some big mistakes in this game, some tactical errors, but it's his first game head coaching. They did have I think the players like him. I think they were playing for him. I mean, they could have won this game with Spencer Rattler. Kellen Moore, because he's a former Eagles guy, he tried the tush push, and the officials threw a flag on it for no apparent reason. But I know what you're saying, but that's Kellen Moore's face, isn't it?
It's like Eli Manning's coaching the team, you know?
That's what Kellen Moore looks like.
All right, let's go to D.C., where the Giants only mustered 231 total yards as the Commanders beat up on the Giants 21-16.
Yeah, Manny, close your ears on this one. You know, we still have to talk about it for a minute. I mean, Russell Wilson, what are we doing? Just get to Jackson Dart. Let's just all pretend the charade do we even have to play it?
Yep.
But for the Commanders side of things, I feel kind of stupid that I faded the Commanders. And Deebo Samuel, I thought I was really impressed by Deebo. I think it was 6 catches for 77 yards. I had it in front of me before. But Deebo was good, and Terry McLaurin made a couple plays. The Commanders offense looks good.
I would say Brian Burns was the best player on the field. He is a force of nature, the Giants pass rusher. I thought the Commanders looked not great offensively. I think the holdout with McLaurin probably cost them. Like, you're really depending on an old Deebo. And what was all that back and forth about will Bill Kroski-Meritz be the number one back? What was that garbage? Then they made, like, they put out a depth chart where he's fourth, and he's clearly the entire offense. So I actually wasn't impressed with Washington. It's funny. I thought they, at home, they should have won more easily because they really weren't putting points on the board. They scored a late touchdown to make it 21-6. Agree on Dart. Like, let's go. Week 2. Right? Maggie Perloff's show is in on Jackson Dart to start against Dallas in Week 2, correct?
You know how this is going to go with Wilson. You want to watch this? This is not going to save anybody's job also, by the way. So if Dayball and Shane just want to be selfish about it, start the rookie.
Malik Nabers, 5 catches, 12 targets.
He's got into a fight with the head coach on the sideline. You got to do something to change it up.
We still stink.
Yeah. You do.
If the Panthers and Jaguars matchup in Jacksonville, did it actually happen? According to the box score, did Jaguars win 26-10?
Pro wants to do victory laps here.
Okay, well, Bryce Young looked terrible again. The Travis Hunter experience, it was fine. It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. There was no electricity around it at all. Like, he was productive. He was totally fine. He got targeted a couple times. But it didn't really do anything.
Like, well, he's not playing defense. That's the thing. It's like he played a couple snaps on defense.
How many snaps did he have? Because I saw him get beat once or twice.
It's going to be 90% offense here. Like, we're not actually watching Shohei. He's not doing the two-way thing. And by the way, I totally understand that. More offense than
I do like the haircut. He went and shaved his head for the game. It looks. He's a good-looking dude.
Oh, you didn't see that, Max?
Yeah.
I guess it didn't register.
Travis Etienne running really fast, too, by the way.
I saw a very, very, very mean meme about the haircut. I saw you guys in the break.
Oh, did you? EJ, did you not like it?
Wife.
I thought it was fine until I saw this meme, and I was like, oh, no, he does look kind of like this.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Bryce Young, by the way, David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers. Again, I actually made it relegation. That's what a Premier League style. Like, dude.
Send him back to college? SEC?
Steve Ballmer and David Tepper are like the two richest owners in sports, whatever. Like, that rich, being rich and being smart are not the same.
All right, let's get to the 4 o'clock games, and we start in the Mile High, where the Broncos beat the Titans in Cam Ward's debut with Tennessee.
I'll tell you what, the numbers do not tell the story on Cam Ward's line. He looks like he's got something. There is so much zip on his passes. I don't even think his receivers are ready for it, which is part of the problem. What's going on with the Broncos? This was supposed to be like the super easy cakewalk win because they're, you know, the number one defense, and Bo Nix is supposed to be the second coming. What happened?
Yeah, he came back to earth is what happened.
40 pass attempts for Bo Nix.
I thought the Titans were poorly coached. I thought they were way too conservative on offense. Maybe he's a rookie quarterback.
A lot of drops.
My takeaway was Bo Nix. Yeah, I just really, the two picks were bad. There was a third that could have been. They did have rookie R.J. Harvey came in at the end and just took off a running back. He could be good. The Broncos, to me, were actually disappointing. The survivor pool, we all picked. I mean,
you all picked.
They almost just buried everybody's survivor pool.
Actually, all of us in the survivor pool moved on except for Andrew Kaplan, who picked the Saints.
Which I'm still trying to figure out why that was. Let's go to Seattle, where the Niners had a surprise touchdown by a guy named Tonjes to win. I'd never heard this guy before, but he was big in that game. They beat the Seahawks 17-13.
Yeah, Reek Woolen got lost on two key plays to let Brock Purdy go down. I know you and I were both thinking the same thing. $50 million for that from Brock Purdy. It's like, drop back and hope that Christian McCaffrey can do something after the catch. That seems like their entire offense. Ricky Pierce all looked nice. They missed Ayuk. They missed Debo a little bit. Kittle went out. Like, they missed him. The run game, by the way, did not blow me away at all. I thought McCaffrey got stuffed way too many times. So San Francisco's offense was a work in progress. Seattle's offense was way too conservative. That was very disappointing. If I'm Seattle, I'm heartbroken after that loss.
I mean, we have almost a decade of evidence at this point that Sam Darnold is not the guy you want in a crucial moment. Now, listen, offensive line got a little overwhelmed there. Or it was actually from behind, right, that he had the fumble, the sack fumble.
Well, I think that was
moved easily into 49er territory, but couldn't finish the job.
Through a beautiful pass, it was first and five on a penalty, and they have a run that went 0 yards. And that was every single play. It felt like on first down, it reminded me of Matt Canada's Steelers offense. I really, like, you could see an offense that's just not working, and that offense is not working.
Just lastly, Jake Tonjes, who I thought was a rookie, but that's just because he hasn't actually been in a box score for 2 years, so my bad. Three catches, his first three catches of his career, all on that final drive. Three catches on three targets, one touchdown. Amazing. What a debut, but he's been around for a while.
Packers beat the Lions in Micah Parsons' debut in the green and gold, 27-13.
Cover your eyes, Cowboy fans, because he only played in 29 snaps, but pressured Jared Goff in the red zone into an interception, then chased him down for a sack. I mean, he is making a difference. The Packers' defense was already good. Parsons made him better.
Yeah, I think Green Bay could have won this game by a lot more points if they wanted to. I feel like they got the lead early, and they weren't threatened by Detroit. Detroit's not necessarily funny. With that explosive offense, they don't seem like they're built like a come-from-behind team because they want to win on the ground. And the ground game was just not there for them at all. That was a huge disappointment. Maybe that's the impact of losing offensive coordinator Ben Johnson.
Yeah, we're going to see Ben Johnson tonight with the Bears playing the Vikings, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. Last one, EJ.
And 14 points was enough for the Rams. Rams beat the Texans 14-9 at SoFi.
Hey, what?
Speaking of epidurals.
What happened to Matthew Stafford's back? He looked fine.
I think Micah Parsons got an epidural. I think Matthew Stafford got an epidural. Shots for everybody.
Can I get one for the pain that the Giants have inflicted on me?
Yeah, it'll make you numb. That's for sure. Not your brain, though. This is a very ferocious Rams defense. We knew that already. But the fact that they made C.J. Stroud and the Texans Pearl look so pedestrian on offense, I was a little surprised. I thought things were going to be a little different here for Houston this year on offense. Not the case.
Yeah, I worry about that offense as a potential playoff team. You know, there were some experts who picked the Jags to knock off the Texans. I kind of maybe wish I was one of them now because that offense was, I don't know, the Rams defense is good. It's not that good, Maggie. Like, C.J. Stroud was under fire.
Yeah, I'm not going that far. The Jags still will. It's amazing that the Jags, like, stand for just a guy. Like, that's what they call some people.
How about Dan Jones and the Colts?
No. No. That was Miami stinking.
Yeah, the Colts will be there week 17. They always are. They will always be 8-9 or 9-8.
Speaking just quickly, Travis Hunter. So it's 44 snaps on offense and 9 snaps on defense.
Duval.
So not exactly Shohei. Not the two-way we were expecting. But
wow, Shohei doesn't exactly pitch that much.
No, but to be honest, I like that. The idea that he would have played a full schedule on offense and defense was always a pipe dream. Yeah, maybe at some point, but not this year.
I know we got a break, but I heard a good line from Kurt Warner. To think that he could do that at the pro level is insulting to pro players. Like, part of this was because he can do it at the college level, just like Cam Ward could spin out of plays in college at Miami that he could not spin out of last night. It's a big jump from college to pro, let's face it.
Huge. 888-710-4ISN. Coming up, we head back to college. Our report card, Arch Manning, Billy Napier, Cade Klubnik. We got them all next.
Oh, time to go. I have to get class.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
Let's find out who made the grade after this weekend's college football action.
He is totally going to kill at college.
What, like a tart?
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Maggie and Perloff hand out their college report card.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Want to bet?
Manny, I thought you were going to say, ask my brother.
No.
Missed an opportunity to dunk on your brother there.
No.
Two quarterbacks, one coach. EJ Stewart's going to hand him off to us. We'll give him the grade. What's up, EJ?
He's more of a burger soda guy.
let's go to Norman, where Bryce Underwood from Michigan made not the greatest start in a big start against a premier team here. So what are you giving Bryce Underwood here?
Bro, I'm going to give him a C-. 9 for 24, 142 yards, getting into it with Justice Haynes on the sideline. They were arguing. Apparently, they cleared everything up. But listen, he's like an $8 million quarterback. He's got a ton of expectations, even if he's a true freshman. Looked really good in the opener. And Oklahoma made him look very, very pedestrian. Big dude, though. Excited to watch him play in the future, but he was not good in this game.
So he had the lowest PFF grade of any player on that offense. I thought he was bad. I'd give him a D. He just turned 18 in August. What the heck is he doing out there?
He's like, huge.
He's gigantic, but he's a massive question mark. Like, we have no idea. He's too young. I think Juju Lewis, who played, by the way, for Colorado, is also that young. It's too young. It's just too young. I gave him an N-A, incomplete.
All right, let's go to Florida, where things got very ugly in Gainesville. Florida loses. What are you giving head coach Billy Napier?
A G for gone. Dude, they give out G's. He's dead man walking. The only reason he's back there is because DJ Lagway forced the program to bring him back. But this is too far. They'd even risk losing Lagway. They just did not play well. Like, listen, you have DJ Lagway, quarterback, who didn't play well himself. But generally, you got to do more points than that.
I'll also give him the G. No, he's gone. I was just going to give him a traditional F. You're 18.5-point favorite against USF. You end up losing on a last-second field goal by Nico Gramatica, Martine's son. Just like cowardly play calling. I didn't like it. You got your defensive lineman, Brendan Bett, spits on a USF offensive lineman in a crucial drive. It kept the drive alive for USF. And Billy Napier is dead man walking. You're absolutely right, Pearl. And this was supposed to be one of the easier games on their schedule on paper. They face LSU next week. So
I didn't think
good luck with that.
I did not sense they had an advantage in the trenches at all in that game. So, yeah, that USF, watch out.
And finally, Arch Manning and the Texas Longhorns bounce back in a win over San Jose State. What are you giving QB Arch Manning?
I give him a B- because he's still doing the silly sidearm stuff. They need to discover, it's like, I think Ryan Wingo targets are a major, major problem. Like, he's supposed to be fast, but he never clears the cornerback. He's messing up Sark's whole offense. Obviously, I think Arch has found targets he liked. It was the bounce back game. At least he had that. And by the way, he can still run really well. So I mean, a B-, a lot to clean up though.
Yeah, it's going to be C+ for me for Arch. Look better. You mentioned the sidearm and some of the mechanics still wonky. Parker Livingston is obviously his number one guy. If he's not throwing to him, it just doesn't feel like it's working at all.
He's got one tight end he likes too.
And, you know, again, it's like Arch is not new here. We're talking about Bryce Underwood just turned 18 like a week ago. Arch Manning's been on campus for 2 seasons watching and learning. getting his chance right now, and it looked better, but I mean, not amazing.
Well, I got to say, I do think that team misses Matthew Golden. I think he was underrated. What a huge impact he had. I think Quintavion Weisner being on the sideline makes a huge deal.
It's number one team in the country going into the season. Like, there were big expectations here. No one else really thought that these holes were going to be insurmountable.
Means nothing. Come on. You're telling me like that receiving core wasn't a concern or shouldn't have been a concern? Yeah, I mean, listen, Penn State lost Tyler Warren and Abdul Carter. I think people don't know what that is. Ohio State really didn't. Who'd they lose?
Well, Abuka.
They lost Will Howard. Yeah. But generally, no, you're saying like it doesn't matter that they lost them? Like, they do not know who their good players are. I think my point is it's definitely on the team, not on Arch. I felt that way about the Ohio State game, too. Those receivers stink. They do not get separation. And the O-line's not great either.
There's your college football report card. Bryce Underwood, Billy Napier, Arch Manning. We're hard graders. Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got the latest for us. Bogues, any good games last night?
A couple. All these headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Bogus. Bills fans usually do damage to themselves, jumping through tables, drinking too much. I saw somebody cooking breakfast on a shovel yesterday in the parking lot in Buffalo.
We're back.
How you get it charred.
Get that crust on it. But during Bills-Ravens last night, one fan slapped DeAndre Hopkins in the helmet, then shoved Lamar Jackson in the face mask after Hopkins caught a TD. Jackson responded with two hands to the idiot's chest.
I just forgot where I was for a little bit, you gotta think in those situations. You know, you got security out there, let security handle it, you know, but I just let my emotion get the best of me, but hopefully it'll happen again.
The Bills did eject the fan, but he actually fought back more than the players for a good chunk of last night. Buffalo was down 40-25 midway through the fourth quarter, only to score the final 16 points of Sunday Night Football to steal a 41-40 season-opening W.
Go Bills.
Matt Prater kicked a game-ending 32-yard field goal. He wasn't Josh Allen's teammate until Thursday.
Honestly, I met him in the locker room 2 days ago. He showed me a video of his son playing quarterback. That's how we met. And today, before the game, he comes up to me, you know, in the locker room, before we even take the field, he just said, hey, I promise you I'm going to give you everything I got tonight.
As we've already mentioned,
it's like a movie.
41-year-old Prater was home in Arizona serving as the assistant coach for his son's football team when the Bills called last week because Tyler Bass is hurt.
He was part of the 2006 draft class. And undrafted, too. 2006.
Yeah, I know, Manny. We've been watching him kick for 20 years.
This is, right. This is like Manny's bands.
I was still in elementary school, still learning what multiplication was and long division was when this guy came into the league, and he's still kicking?
Yeah.
Is he the oldest player?
He won the game.
He's
Rodgers.
Yeah. I think he's older than Rodgers, right?
I mean, listen, they put the close-up on him. He looks like
he looks old, kicker.
He looks seasoned.
By the way, and thank goodness for him last night. They should keep him for the whole season. But
two kickers on the Bills.
Imagine how much patience you have to have as a quarterback. It's not just the outside world, especially for Josh Allen, who's living in a place like Buffalo where it's a bit of a fishbowl. He can't go out anywhere. He can't get lost like in the crowd like he could maybe in New York or L.A. or something. And so outside the building, you've got to have the patience of a saint because everyone's coming up to you at all times.
Go Bills.
And then inside your own locker room, you have a journeyman kicker who you've never met is suddenly showing you highlights of his kid playing quarterback in high school. And you have to like nod along.
Matt Jr. is great.
Look
at that quick release point. Yeah,
that's such a Gen X thing. Just show up and be like, "Hey, look at my kid playing quarterback."
He's a millennial. Gen X.
41. Oh, I guess late millennial.
He was born in 1984.
By Prater, second oldest. Rogers, first oldest. Yeah. Both 41. Rogers' birthday hits first.
Yeah.
Folks, what else you got?
Allen, I should say, I'm Prater, making the Bills the first team ever, I should type better, to erase a 15-point hole with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter and win that game in regulation. Aaron Rodgers, meanwhile, is the only QB with 240 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, and no picks in his debut for a new team over the last 60 seasons, and all of that came against the Jets.
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
The new Steeler QB put up 34 points. Their new defensive back made that enough to win. Jalen Ramsey thumping Garrett Wilson so hard that Wilson dropped a first down catch.
This crap is crap.
That ended the Jets' last drive.
Poll question, who wins first, the Jets or the Giants?
The Jets.
The Jets.
Giants' schedule is hardest in the league, right?
Yeah baby. Yeah.
But they got the Cowboys next. Jets got the Bills.
All right.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean. And then, the Giants.
And then I think the Giants have the Chiefs the next week or something like that.
I mean, the Giants, I don't
think. This is when you play the Chiefs.
Oh, is that right?
Well, Xavier Worthy has a dislocated shoulder.
Yeah, Rashee Rice hasn't come back till week six.
The Chiefs could put out their third stringers and they could still beat the Giants.
They got New Orleans in week five. Look at the Jets' schedule.
I think that the Chiefs could beat the Giants with Patrick Mahomes playing left-handed.
So do I. He's going to try it, too.
Yeah, he's going to pull a Larry Bird. Larry Bird get a triple-double left-handed. Patrick Mahomes is going to play left-handed and throw for 300 yards.
He could have no arms, and he could still beat the Giants.
Wait, but the Jets schedule, they got Buffalo at Tampa Bay. Oh, God. At Miami. Damn.
There it is.
Then again, funny things happen in South Beach.
Huh? I'm not even, like, super, super high on the Jets. I mean, the Giants, I was someone who also thought the Giants would be more competitive. They are light years away from being competitive.
No, just Jackson Dart in there and let's win some games.
Maybe Dart's in there.
They have Malik Neighbors. They have Brian Burns. They have Abdul Carter. Like, there's players there.
But they have you and I playing offensive line. That's the problem.
There it is. When's Andrew Thomas come back?
We don't know.
You don't know that, yeah.
It's been a decade and a half with the same thing with the Giants. Well, it's the offensive line. They still can't block. And the quarterback, whenever he did have time to throw the ball, he had happy feet. He didn't trust his pocket. And it led to just checkdowns and bad throws. I love football.
No, Joe Shane really happy when splurged on all those offensive linemen. And let Saquon Barkley go.
Life is dandy.
Pac-2 powerhouse. Oregon State had a tough Saturday, trailing Fresno State at home 20-15 at halftime, which gave us this on-field chat with head coach Trent Bray.
We've allowed ourselves to create their success, both in special teams, joke, right, and then on big plays on defense, two long runs for touchdowns that shouldn't exist. They did nothing to harm us. We got to stop killing ourselves.
Special teams... A blank joke included a dropped snap on a punt, and instead of getting tackled, the punter kicked the ball sideways.
Like a soccer ball.
Yes, away from Fresno State. The halftime message didn't work because Oregon State lost this game 36-27.
Does the CW have enough in their budget to pay that FCC fine?
Oh, by the way, I thought you were going to do Oklahoma State.
What? Oh, boy.
What on earth was that?
69-3.
Are they all of a sudden, are they like Elon or something? Like, what is going on with that program?
I feel like last year I was saying they got to fire Mike Gundy, and I got a lot of pushback being like, you can't fire him. He's a legend.
That was the easiest win Oregon's ever had in their life.
They got to put Gundy out of his misery.
But I'm a man. I'm 40.
They fired everyone but him.
Yeah.
He's the only coach that from the staff that came back last year. He had replaced everyone else. That's the only way he saved his job.
It's kind of like the Giants offense. Replaced everybody, or they brought everybody back except for that one person at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, 69-3.
Just also after you were talking smack all week. Like, and that's the Mike Gundy way. That's whatever. He's not going to stop being him.
But. I mean, it could have been 169-3 if they wanted to.
Yeah,
you got that right.
The third stringers were running rings around Oklahoma State. It was ugly.
I'm good, guys.
Did you guys also see the fan in the Kansas-Missouri game that could have kicked a field goal for $25,000 per hole, but instead pulled up his chest that just said, F you, Kansas.
I did not see that.
And kicked it. No, I'm sorry. Said, F you, Kansas. F you, KU, thank you. And then kicked the ball instead of to the field goal through the uprights or even close, just at the sideline of Kansas.
I love it.
I mean, honestly,
it was halftime, so no one was really there. But
yeah, honestly, make your moment. Like, I love that rivalry. I love these smaller. I don't even want to call them smaller rivalries because they're not small in these areas. But like the ones that we don't think about, we always think about Michigan or Ohio State. The fact that these two teams played again was awesome.
Oh, who cares?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm big into the border war.
If you have no shot of making the field goal, this is when you just go nuclear, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean. You really selling me those two football programs?
I mean, I do like it when Kansas and Missouri played. They always used to play at Arrowhead Stadium, which is really cool. And now they made it a home game, which actually is a different flavor, but I think you had this fun moment that maybe you would not have had at Arrowhead.
Pearl, you don't like an Eli Drinkwitz Lance Leipold showdown?
It's
like
coaches.
I don't even know you anymore.
Former UB head coach.
I mean, Leipold. The funny thing this weekend was my buddy PFD commenter had a really viral tweet about Daniels being the front runner for the Heisman after he looked awesome early in the game.
Jalen Daniels.
I did want to get it wrong. Jalen Daniels looking awesome. And then I'm like, oh, PFT, why are you doing that? They're definitely going to lose now. And then they lost.
Yep. 888-710-4ISN. Bogues, thank you so much. Great job all morning.
Wow, Jalen Daniels.
Next. Actually, is Luther Burton's playing tonight? Is he not from Mizzou?
Yes, he is.
Luther Burton will be on the field tonight along with Caleb Williams and J.J. McCarthy and the like. We got an NFC North showdown. We learned a little bit more about Caleb Williams over the weekend, though. We'll get to that next.
Look at that.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We'll come clean on all the bets we lost this weekend in just a moment. But Jay is in Nashville, wants to talk about the Ravens' collapse last night. What's up, Jay?
What's up, guys? Man, I was working the fairgrounds last night, the Nashville fairgrounds, watching the, you know, they had the circus, the racetrack, Geodis Park, feeling good. You know what I mean? Felt like a kid again, came home to watch that. And, like, I was just like you. I heard you say it earlier, Maggie. I was like, man, why aren't they just going for that fourth down? Don't give them the ball back with all that time left. And you're right. It's the Ravens, it's not just the players. It's the coaching staff who are making bad decisions at the wrong time that makes them give away the game. And, I mean, that was just crazy. And I'm glad y'all mentioned that kicker, because me and my roommate was looking at the game last night, and they put his face on the TV.
Matt Prater.
We both looked at each other like, who is that leatherhead-looking dude right there? He's in there right now.
Oh, Jay.
But, it did kind of trip us out. But, honestly, I thought everybody would be talking about Caitlin Clark leaving the insufferable WNBA for it for a year. But, you know what I mean? Also, you know what?
Jay, sideswipe the WNBA. Wait, hold on. Let's pause on some of the things you said, Jay, because you're making a good point. And that Nashville Fair sounds delightful. I want some stories from that.
He said Geodis Park. That's where Nashville SC plays. I know you were wondering.
I was. So the Matt Prater, the kicker for the Bills last night, who gets called into duty because he got flown in on a red eye Thursday to Friday because their regular kicker was on IR. But for the Ravens, sneaky moment in the game where Buffalo is chasing a point all game long, essentially, because they got a penalty on the PAT, went for the two-point conversion, did not get it. But then the Ravens kicker ends up missing a PAT and kind of got it back for him. Listen, was that the 1 million thing that happened that decided the outcome of the game? More like 1,000,001, but it just was a moment because they got rid of Justin Tucker because of all of the assault allegations against him from over the summer.
But the Bills played for a field goal on the last drive. They had tons of time to score a touchdown, so they would have scored a touchdown anyway.
Oh, Keon Coleman got tackled by a shoestring. I mean, that would have left the Ravens with 30 seconds left.
He would have gone down at the by the way, would he have gone down at the one?
I don't trust Keon Coleman to
He's
go down
a young guy, but second year.
I don't trust that dude.
Yeah, so they easily could have scored anyway.
That's true. Anyway, hell of a win from the Bills last night. Let's come clean on some things
Maggie
that we got
and
wrong.
Perloff come clean.
Pearl, what'd you get wrong yesterday?
I was this weekend. I was all about Duke Blue Devils and Darian Mensah, and I thought I had a W, and then Illinois, who knew Luke Altmyer was awesome, so I got killed on that. I got killed on that bit because I was all about stick to basketball, Duke. That's all I'll say. I actually randomly did well on New York. The only bet I lost, for some reason, I bet the Jets money line because you guys got in my ear.
I did too.
Yeah. And
that was a loser.
Yeah, but that was another one I thought I was going to win for sure.
Can I tell you the painful one for me is I had watched Virginia Tech last week and I was like, they got some receivers. This could be fun. They're playing Vanderbilt at home. It's tied 10-10 at halftime. I go live bet on Virginia Tech. They got outscored 34-0 the rest of the way. So that one stunk.
Yeah.
And I also had the Texans money line. And just to round out what was an all-around crappy betting weekend, the Detroit Lions money line.
Oh, no.
Why? What'd you see in the Lions money line?
I thought that maybe everyone was riding the Micah stuff a little hard. Like, Lions had been winning in Green Bay this whole time, and they, you know, were 6-1 in their last seven against Green Bay. And I was like, you know what? No one's talking about the Lions. Let me put a little on the money line and...
Well, I think, honestly, not an excuse, but they're still getting healthy from last year. Like, Aiden Hutchinson did not really have an offseason, and Aylin McNeil's not back. Like, they'll be better. Bad bet, though, Meg.
Terrible. EJ Stewart, thank you so much. Manny Rodriguez, thank you. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos, Coffee Drinkers, you guys all over the chat today. We couldn't do it without you. We'll see you tomorrow to answer more questions, and we'll react to Monday Night Football. You got the Bears and the Vikings tonight. Enjoy it.